Too much going on for God. Anybody teaching upstairs today? I'll give you a head start. Maybe? Possibly? They don't look like they got as much energy as the kids have, though. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, kids can be dismissed. Junior church, praise the Lord. Cool. Well, you guys got stuck with me today, didn't you? Wow. When you study to preach, you like to have some kind of direction, some kind of topic, a subject of some kind. And then when you start studying and the Lord says, man, oh man. It's been like this all week. It's like, where is this going to? The title of the message is Don't Get Offended. And it's just been on my mind a lot, and I've been doing... You guys like to study prophecy? People like to study prophecy? Yeah, it's pretty cool. Kind of neat. It's sometimes you got to be careful when you study prophecy. But to get to where we need to go, I think I got to lay some ground rules. Okay? We've got to have some principles. We got to have some foundation. We don't build a house on muck and dirt. We got to have a foundation. We put a footer in. We put block in. We build on that. Guys that build houses know that. I don't know anything about that, but I'm just saying that's what you got to do. It's the same with the Word of God. Shirley was spot on this morning. Spot on in our devotions. How do you get to know the Lord? How do you get to know Him? What is this thing that we carry around? B-I-B-L-E. Bible? Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth? Is that what that stands for? Amen. Sounds good, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Sounds good. You can look up the word Bible, and it's just the Scripture. It's just the holy book to put together. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's what it says. But this Bible is the living Word of God. Do you understand that? God gave us His living, holy Word. And His Son, and then this. And I want to start in John. Let's go to the book of John, the first chapter. I want to lay some ground rules. I want to get to Matthew 24, and I hope we get there today. I'm not going to guarantee nothing. I hope we get there. But in John chapter 1, we've read this before. We've seen this before. In chapter 1, and verse 1, says, in the beginning, and I like the Amplified. I'm going to read from the Amplified, so if it sounds really winded, long-winded, it is. Okay? It says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Lord Jesus Christ. This Word is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior, the one who came and died on that cross, was beaten, abused, spit upon. You ever been spit on? Just, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, oh yeah. It's on now, brother. You're bringing it now. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Spit on. And He had the power of the universe in His hands. And He had the power of the universe in His voice. And He didn't say a word. Wow. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. This is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the power He has. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. Never. Amen. Even when Satan thought he won, he was defeated. Yes. Amen. The Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. This Word is the power of God. And He gave it to us in written form. And you and I carry it around and don't treat it like it should be treated. Because how do you get to know God? I said this to you guys before. If you want to get to know me, I'm going to write you a letter. I'll write you a book. This is who I am. If you don't read it, how do you know who I am? You don't. You can't know me. You can't know God unless you're in this book. You can't know God unless you're reading His Word. You can't know God unless you're in conversation with Him all day long. So what is this book? What is this Word? We look at it every Sunday. We come up. Someone preaches on it. Someone talks about the Word. Someone gives you a story about something's going on. We try to get some revelation. We try to get some insight. We try to apply that to our life so we can use that when we step out these doors. That's what it's all about. Scripture is God-breathed. Y'all know that verse? 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to do a little Bible surfing today. You like to go surfing? Anybody like to go surfing? The one guy likes to go surfing. Okay, Dougie. This is for you, brother. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at just a couple verses here. I'm trying to lay some foundational groundwork. Do we believe that the Bible is what it says it is? Do we believe that it is the Word of God? Do we believe that God actually took the time, thousands of years, different writers, different people, different avenues, to put this book together for you and I? That we, 2016, can sit here and look at it as one volume. And we can read it. We have the privilege here in the United States of being able to do that without anybody giving us any trouble yet. Just careful what you say. It might get you in trouble. Be careful what you say. Yeah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, every scripture is God-breathed. The Amplified says, given by His inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God or woman may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. This book, Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth, you can apply to your life. You can read a verse of Scripture. And I told some kids at Sunday school one time, so you can take a verse of Scripture and you can stand on it. The kid took a Bible and went, does that work? I said, dude, yeah, it works. He just took a little wrong. But it's the same thing. He's got to build a foundation. If you're standing on the Word of God, how can you go wrong? How can you go wrong? So we understand now that the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Son of the Almighty God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that everything in this book is God-breathed. The Scripture is God-breathed. It's breathed of God. It came from His mouth. The power of God. Okay. We got that down. We all on the same page here. Pretty simple, basic stuff, right? We all know this, right? Let's go to the book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to look at something. There's several things in Hebrews I want to look at. We're going to get to this, don't be offended. But we got to set some ground rules. And there's some things that's going to happen. We all know, we all read prophecy in end times, you know, wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, all stuff. We all read this, right? I'm going to show you a different avenue on this. We're going to get there. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. You ever read this before? For the Word that God speaks is alive. This book is alive. I heard a preacher say this one time, and I thought, that is so cool. He said, the Bible is like a lion. It can take care of itself. You just got to let it out. You got to let it get out there. You got to speak it out there. You got to apply it to your life. You got to get to know it. You got to get to know that God is in control of your life, whether it's messed up or not. Amen. Huh? Anybody have any troubles? Anybody have any troubles this week at all? If you ain't raising your hand, you're lying. You are lying so bad. Something happened, right? You had to have something. When that problem come up against you, you say, be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what you did? Boy, this is bad. Ooh, boy, this is bad. Is this what you did? This is bad. Yeah, that's what we do. But look at this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the power of the cross, the power of His blood, the power of His resurrection is in every one of you. So we got a problem back here. We got a problem right there. And we're looking at Christ. If we look at the problem, what's happening? We're shadowing our problem. Christ is behind us. The light of the Word, the light of God is not on our problem. turn to the God. We turn to God. We turn to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. And he's like, yeah, man, we can work on that problem together. Amen. Huh? Christ doesn't ride. He drives. He drives. He drives. So look at this. Look at this. What is this book? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12. It says, the Word of God is alive. It's full of power. I'm going to read this out of Amplified. I want you to get this. Making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. This thing has got power. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow and the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. God knows what you're thinking. That's scary, isn't it? Wow. Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? He knows I'm thinking I'd like to just do drill that guy. If I start, I couldn't stop. Huh? He knows you're thinking that. You ever drive on the highways? Wow. There are some people out there. I'm telling you, there are some people out there. Huh? You idiot! You ever do that when you're driving through the car? You ever do that? I admit I have. I'm like, you're stupid. What's the matter with you? You want to die. You know what I'm saying? Do I quit driving because of it? No. Because, you know, every once in a while you see somebody that lets you out and wave and they wave. It's like, that's kind of cool. You know, there are some people out there with some common sense. There's some people out there that care. You know what I mean? I want to get a bumper sticker for my truck that's on the back. I'm going to put it on the back. It says, next time we wave, use all of your fingers. I want to do that. Because you're driving a big truck. You can't take off fast. These people want you to go 100 miles. You cannot. It weighs 30,000 pounds. You don't take off. And they're blowing the horn and flipping the back. It's like, what's the matter with you? You stupid. Can't you see him in a big truck? Huh? God knows my heart. And I think, you know what? You died for that person too, didn't you? Yeah, I did. And you went to that cross for that person too. And I just called him an idiot. Yeah, it's almost like, I know. And so are you. I said, I know I am. Yeah. You know what I mean? Verse 13 says, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him to whom you have to do. God knows your deepest thoughts. God knows your deepest intents. God knows why you do what you do. God knows. You can't hide it from him. He's God. He knows you. Okay. This word is alive and powerful. It is God-breathed. Is the scripture of God. It is actually the word, the very words of God. And we call those people idiots. We're actually maybe calling a precious child of the Almighty God an idiot. So I won't put any Christian stickers on my truck because I think I don't want to make them think bad of me when I call them an idiot. You know what I'm saying? You ever think about that? You ever see people going down the road? What's the matter with you? You stupid! And they got a bumper sticker that says, love Jesus! Really? They're the saying, to live above with the saints I love, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints I know, that's a different story. Amen? Because you know what? We don't all get along. We don't all get along. We don't all think the same. We don't all act the same. We don't all react the same. We are not all in the same place. And the day changes. Sometimes you're spiritual today. And tomorrow I'm lucky to just get that guy. Boy, I'll just beat him till he can't walk. Is that where you are? Am I the only one like that? Huh? Must be sleep depravity. Something like that, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Some days it's like I'm walking with the Lord. And other days it's like I'm walking with the devil. You know what I'm saying? We're all that way. God knows your heart. He still loves you. He still loves you. Even when you're that dirty, despicable, he still loves you. Amen? Okay, so we got some ground rules. We've been looking at some stuff. I don't even know where we're at. Where are we at now? Where are we going to go now? While we're in Hebrews, why don't we go to chapter 10? I want you to see something here. Oh, gosh. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to start in verse 28. I want to read something to you here. When you go back in the Old Testament, God gave Moses the law. He wrote it down on table of stone. A lot of people believe, it's kind of interesting when you do a study, with lasers we have today, when they do lasers on stones in Israel, it becomes a really pretty blue. It's really cool. It's blue. And a lot of scholars believe, and a lot of Jewish people believe, that when God wrote the Ten Commandments on that stone, that it was in vibrant blue because of the power of God. Laser. That's cool. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. It's cool. But back in those times, if you violated the law, they killed you. They killed you. If you worked on Sunday, they took you out and stoned you. If you used God's name in vain, they took you out and stoned you. And it might not even be you. It might be your whole family. They might kill your whole family because of something you did. That was the law then. Verse 28 says, any person who is violated and thus rejected and said not the law of Moses is put to death without pity or mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. That's what it's saying. That's what they did. Verse 29, how much worse, sterner, heavier punishment do you suppose he will be judged to deserve who has spurned and thus trampled underfoot the Son of God? And who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it and insulting and outraging the Holy Spirit who imparts grace and mercy. Do you understand what that's saying? In the Old Testament, if you messed up and you sinned, if you broke the law, you died. And he's going on to say, you know, what are those people, how many people do you know that you've talked to about Christ and they're like, not ready for that yet. Don't want to go there. You're kind of a bit crazy. You get up on stage, people think you're crazy. Yeah. I kind of am. Up here. I'm a different person sitting down there, though. I am. But when I get in here and I start thinking about what I'm preaching about and what the Lord starts doing his thing, I get a little excited, buddy. I get a little excited. So he's saying here, they killed you then. What's going to be the judgment of those that refuse Christ? Because he came, guys. He actually came. He died on that cross. He was spit upon. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was rejected for you and I. And when you start thinking about people that you see on the news thinking, those people are crazy. What the heck are they thinking? Do you think God died for them too? Oh. How could he? He couldn't have known them people were going to act like that. He's like, you know what I mean? But he did. But he did. Verse 30. For we know him who said, vengeance. Wow. Vengeance is mine. This means retribution and the meeting out of full justice rests with God. I will repay. He says, I will exact the compensation, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge and determine and solve and settle the cause of the cases of his people. It is a fearful thing to incur the divine penalties and be cast into the hands of a living God. Do you get that? When people reject Christ, they're trampling on his blood. They're trampling on everything he did. They're trampling on his sacrifice. They're trampling on all that he is. That power. What did it say in John? There was nothing created that he didn't have a hand in. He was involved in it all. He's God. And you're going to reject him? There's going to be vengeance. Wow. Do you want to stand before God and know that his wrath is upon you because you refuse to accept his son? Are you going to stand before God as a son, as a daughter, terrible as you are, covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Are you getting an idea what God did for us? What He does for you every day? It is a terrible thing to fear. And nobody fears God. How many people do you know walking around that fears God? How many? Nobody. They use His name in vain. I had a guy ask me, "Oh God, if I won't cuss again if you do this for me." I'm like, "Really? And you never talk to Him ever? And you don't even know Him? Because I'm standing here, you're going to say that?" And that's what it is. They reject God. They reject all that He did. He paid the price for your sin. He paid the price for your penalty of sin. He paid the debt you and I couldn't pay. No way. He paid it. It is a fearful thing to know that you might fall in the hands of a living God. He's not dead. Our God's alive. And we're going to stand before Him someday. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 4. Well, maybe not. Let's look. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. I want to read you something here. Do you guys believe that the Lord watches you, that He keeps His eyes on you, that He's maybe thinking about you, maybe watching what you do, maybe looking at your heart, maybe thinking what you're doing? You ever wonder about that? You ever worry about that when you're saying something maybe you shouldn't be? I want to read you a verse of Scripture. 2 Chronicles, it's an interesting thing here in Chronicles. If you go back in the Old Testament and read the kings, they were bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, worst king, bad king, bad king, worst king, bad, bad, bad. They were bad. Then comes along Asa. Asa comes along, he's got 300,000 men with him and a million plus man army comes against him, the Ethiopians. And he says, "God, You are God, we are Your children, and without You we can do nothing, and we don't want to get, You want You to do Your thing." And God does His thing. And they win. And they destroy over a million man army with only 300,000 people. And Asa did right. His heart was right with God. And he does some more things. But then these guys come against him and he decides to pay some people to help him out. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, I want you to see one verse. Verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of those hearts are blameless toward Him." What does that mean? I studied that this week and it's very interesting. A lot of say perfect, whose heart is perfect, whose heart is loyal. Do you know, as you're sitting here in your seats this morning, God is looking at your heart. His eyes are on your heart. Is this person, He's looking at you. Are you willing to do what He asked you to do? Are you willing to step out? This is scary stuff now. Huh? It's okay to go, "Yeah, we're going to do it." You lock the door and say, "Man, I'm going home," and lock the doors. And I ain't going out with them crazy people. They drive like idiots. Right? God's eyes are upon those. And you know what He does? Asa's heart was towards God. He was relying on God. When this million-man army come against him, he said, "God," let me read it to you. See if I can find it here real quick. Asa cried to the Lord, his God, "O Lord, there is none beside You to help, and it makes no difference to You whether there is one, whether the one You help is mighty or powerless. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on You, and we go against the multitude in Your name. O Lord, You are our God. Let no man prevail against You." That was Asa's prayer. Do we pray that? Can we pray that? Yeah! You better believe it. Asa's heart, he knew that he was in trouble. Asa knew that there was no way, mathematically speaking, that you could win. You can't take 300,000 people and go up against over a million and expect to really come out good. You can't. But Asa did. Because it says, if you want to read, it says God fought for Asa. God fought for the children of Israel. God fought for them. Because his heart was right. But when we get to chapter 16, Asa had relied on himself. He got older. He had money. Didn't really need God then, right? But the eyes of the Lord are upon him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. This is where we're headed to, guys. Matthew chapter 24. This is kind of prophetic. The disciples are asking Jesus, saying, you know, what's going to be the signs? What's going to be the end time signs? And a lot of times your perception has something to do with this. You ever notice that? When you see things, your perception, maybe where you're at that day, changes what you think about it. You know? I think you guys all heard the Pope came to America there, last year. He was here for a little bit, seeing the president and all that. Do you hear about the story about him? He came and he was at the airport and he had some car issues, problems, whatnot. They had him in a taxi. And the taxi driver said, this is the Pope. So I'm driving slow, turn signal. Yeah, you know, being nice. And the Pope goes, man, I got to get there. He goes, I'm driving as fast as I can, no speed limit. You know, this is the man of God in the backseat. You can't do it. Get out of the way. You know, you can't do that sort of thing. You know, it's the man of God in the backseat. He says, why don't you get out and let me drive? Okay. So the Pope gets in, and he's driving. He is driving like a wild man. He's going around corners. There's air underneath two of the tires. This guy is buzzing by cars, running through stop signs. He's a wild man driver. Two cops see him. Chase him down. It's like, this guy is going to jail. He's going to jail! They pull him over. He pulls over. One guy gets out. One guy goes, he got the hand on the gun. These guys got to be drug addicts or something. Guy walks up to the door and says, ooh, turn on this way. The guy says, what are you doing? I said, come on. What are you doing? I said, come on. Get in the car. He goes, what are you doing? He says, you can't give a guy a ticket. He goes, who is it? I said, I don't know. He says, is it the governor? No. He says, it's the mayor? No. He says, who is it? He says, I don't know, but the Pope is his driver. Huh? Your perception. Huh? What do you perceive? Yeah. I thought that was kind of cute. I thought I'd share it with you. Okay. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, the disciples are coming to Jesus and asking him, saying, what's going to be the signs at the end of the time? And you can read down through here. Jesus says, we'll start in verse 4. We might as well read a little bit here. It says, Jesus asked them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceives you, and leading you into error. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars, verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened and troubled, for this must take place, but the end's not yet. For a nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. All this is but the beginning of the early pains of the birth pangs. Are you seeing that today? Look at the news much? There's all kind of stuff going on everywhere. There's wars, rumors of wars, there's earthquakes, there's famines, there's pestilence, there's mosquitoes carrying. I mean, it's just stuff. Stuff. Verse 9. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Wow. Are we seeing that today? You know, the United States is becoming less tolerant of Christians. You know that? They're passing laws and making rules and that makes you look like a bad guy because you're a Christian. So what do we got to do? We got to withstand the famines, the wars, the pestilence, all this stuff, right? That's what it says. What does verse 10 say? And then many will be offended. What? And repelled. And will begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey. And will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. What? I never heard that preached before at the end times, did you? Many will be offended? Really? People are so sensitive today, you can't say nothing. It's a hate crime, right? I don't even think you can say, you're ugly. You are ugly. Your daddy was ugly and you're ugly. Can you say that? I think you'd go to jail. I really think you would. I had a guy tell me one time, I said, you don't look as fat as you used to. Well, that's a really compliment. Thank you. Really? Really? You don't look as fat as you used to. Is that the way you compliment somebody? You better have a little thick skin working around construction people. I'm just saying, okay? So, people are going to get offended. This word for offend is the Greek word skandalizo, where we get our word for scandal. It originally in the Greek was a trap. You know how you set a trap out to catch mice or whatever you want to catch, I guess, raccoons or whatever. You put a little bait out there and you kind of camouflage it up and you set a trap. That's what this word entails. Get offended because you're going to cause somebody to stumble and fall. People are going to fall away. They're going to become offended. How many people you know that go to church that don't go to church anymore? And you talk to them. I don't go to church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I didn't like that guy's sermon. He's an idiot. I don't like him. I don't like his sermon. Their families go to church, and they don't. Because some idiot did something. And they're offended, and I'm not going to church anymore. If I was offended because I was driving, I would have to stay home, right? Because I'm out there with a bunch of idiots. Right? A bunch of idiots. A bunch of idiots. I'd have to stay home. It's the same. It's the same thing with church. We're a bunch of idiots. Right? You ever look in the mirror and say, boy, you were an idiot. Why did you do that? Why'd you say that? Huh? Did you ever say something and wish you really hadn't? You ever do something and really wish you hadn't? It's the same. It's the same with church. We are people. And we're going to offend one another. We've got to be careful that we don't get offended and turn away from God. Let's read on. In verse 11 it says, many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Do you see the love of people growing cold? You see a lot of really good people, right? But do you see some cold-blooded people? Cold. They don't have a feeling for you in the least. It's all about them. Me, 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 me. My. Me, oh my. Right? Huh? Oh me, oh my. I see this in people. I see a lot of good people out there. But I see a lot of people that are really hurt. And they take out that hatred on somebody. That's what it's saying here. And what's verse 11 say? Or 13, I'm sorry. But he who endures to the end will be saved. I've always heard this preached. If you got to endure famines, pestilence, earthquakes, all this stuff, that's what you got to endure. But we also have to endure not becoming offended. Really? You can't be offended and turn away from God. Isn't that something? Did you ever see that before? I never did. Cool. And this says, but he who endures, this word for endures, the Greek picture of this is a plant that gets tromped. And it comes back up. And you tromp it, and it comes back up. And you tromp it again, and it comes back up. Weeds are hard to kill, ain't they? Tromp it, and it comes back up. That's what you and I are supposed to be. And you get tromped. And you get spit on. You get called a bad name. When you get abused, when you get reviled for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got to get back up. Because what did we just talk about? This word is alive. And it is infused with the very power of God. And you, as a child of the Almighty God, has the Holy Spirit, the actual power of God in you. So why do I act like an idiot? Because I take over. I have to allow God. And how do I let God move in my life? I have to be in this Word. I have to be reading the Scriptures. I got to be talking to God. I got to be in prayer. I got to be seeking His help. I got to be seeking His advice. I got to know that I can't go through the day without His power in my life. Huh? And then we go to all the troubles we have. I have verses of Scripture. We're running out of time here, but I have verses of Scripture. Paul talks about we're oppressed but not crushed. Persecuted, not abandoned. We sing a song like that. Remember that? That's the power of God. I want to look at one verse here. I think this will be kind of cool for you. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll quit here. Philippians chapter 4. Right after Ephesians. Philippians chapter 4. And Paul's talking about some stuff here. He says, Don't be anxious for anything, but by everything, prayer. And it says in verse 7, it says, and God's peace shall be yours. And this is the Amplified. I want you to hear this. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace that peace. We're not worried about falling in the hands of a living God and suffering vengeance. We have the peace knowing that our Lord and Savior, we have accepted Him as our Lord Jesus Christ. His blood covers us. His strength is upon us. No matter what comes upon us, we can have that peace. Let's read on. Which transcends all understanding. This peace, in the Greek, says, it'll garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. How do you get that way, though, if you don't know Him? How do you get to that peace if you don't talk to Him? How do you get to that peace if you don't know His Word? How do you get that peace if you can't understand His promises? I want you to want to read here. He talks about everything. I want to read you something else here, Philippians 4. Paul writes some stuff here, and this is a hard place to be because we all have trouble. And we've all been short and lacking on things. We've all been in situations that really didn't make any sense. And we knew this was going to be bad and the outcome was going to be bad. We had no way of getting out of this. And Paul writes here, Philippians 4, verse 12, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. And I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I've learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well fed or going hungry, having sufficiency and enough to spare or going without and being in want. And I want to read you verse 13 from the Amplified. I have strength for all things in Christ Jesus who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. If you got Christ in your life, what more do you need? Stuff? Want to be a hoarder? Huh? And people got all kind of junk. It's just junk. Good friend of mine passed away this week. 57 years old. Not sick. Got home, walked up the steps. Wife said he fell down the steps, landed at the bottom, took two breaths, he was done. They never brought him back. He died just like that. He's got an awesome shop he just built. Heated, concrete floor, a whole nine yards, bathroom in it. He's got farm equipment. He's getting ready to retire. He's right there at that age. He's going to do all this stuff when he retires. And you know what? He went home to be with the Lord this week. And all that stuff he has, somebody else is going to have to deal with it. It brings really home to me how precious it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you take that last breath, no matter what problems you're in, no matter what you're facing, no matter what's coming upon your life, when you take that last breath, you better know where you're going. And when you take that last breath, to be in the presence of the Almighty God. Huh? To be in His presence. All this other stuff's going to be junk, guys. And all that's really going to matter is how well you've been reading this book. Well, you've been looking. You've been looking, talking to Him. I know Him. I know Him as my Lord, my Savior. I know Him as my God. Huh? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before Your precious throne this morning. Father, I just ask a special blessing upon this word. We can get a hold of it. We can understand that You're God. What You want for our lives. The stuff doesn't matter. The problems that come upon us, Father, depending on how we look at them, power of You. Oh, Father. To look at You and to know that You're God in our life. To know that You're in control and that You love us. And You made the whole universe. And You still want to spend time with each and everyone here individually. Getting to know them. Oh, Father. Just praise You. We thank You. Father, just thank You for this time. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.